We'll be back next week, and we're looking forward to doing this again with you and me here at WGXC. God bless.
Hello, my name is Holly Hedgepeth, and I'm with the Cancer Services Program of Columbia and Greene County, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC ACRA.
Wave Farms WGXC needs your financial support. In these extraordinary and unprecedented times, we know there are many worthy organizations in need. We hope that you consider Wave Farm among them. If you value WGXC and want to keep it a part of your daily life, we ask that you make a tax-deductible contribution to keep local and adventurous content freely available on the Upper Hudson Valley radio dial. Please visit WGXC.org, click donate, and become a monthly sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. Thank you so much for keeping independent voices and sounds on your radio dial.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Kurt Wayman of Theater Consultants Collaborative. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about stories you heard here. On August 22nd, there were protests around the country at post offices. In the Hudson Valley, there were demonstrations from Delhi to Catskill. WGXC's Neva Wartell attended the Catskill event and spoke with some of the protesters.
There's no reason why the government can't bail out the post office. And there's no reason why the government can't tax the wealthy fairly. Because if we bailed out, you know, the automobile industry, and we bailed out the fossil fuel industry, and we bailed... Let's do it. Let's make sure that our postal workers who have been serving this country for generations can keep working.
So it's a critical service, and it needs to be supported, and it should remain public, and it should not be undermined at any time, particularly during the pandemic.
The establishment of the post office is written into our Constitution. It was not written in as a for-profit business. Not everything is for profit in our nation and our world, not the military, not the highways, and the post office should not be also. It is an essential service. It adds to our well-being, and a good economy runs to not just come up with numbers, but to add to the well-being of our population. And we need Mr. DeJoy to resign. He's a political hack running a rival to the post office. He's come in there and done a tremendous amount of destruction in just 2 short months. He started in June. And he's obviously there to subvert the will of the American people and make it difficult for people to vote by mail.
Sarah Trafton is reporting for Columbia Greene Media that the Greene County District Attorney has announced that no criminal charges will be filed in the 2018 death of a Coxsackie man incarcerated at the former Greene County Jail. Corrections officers found Matthew Liam Bruno, 43, hanging from a bedsheet in his cell at approximately 11:30 p.m. on April 12th. Liam Bruno succumbed to his injuries at Columbia Memorial Hospital 2 days later. In a report released in late 2019, the State Commission of Corrections cited several failures in the jail administrator's response to the warning signals presented by Liam Bruno. that indicated he might harm himself. Quote, my office did speak in 2018 with the sheriff and the superintendent of corrections and listened to the phone calls made by Liam Bruno, unquote, said Greene County District Attorney Joseph Stanzioni. Quote, the information we acquired did not rise to the standard that criminal conduct occurred, unquote. He said, quote, criminal negligence is different from civil negligence or even gross negligence. The carelessness required for criminal negligence is appreciably more serious. It must be such that its seriousness would be apparent to anyone who shares the community's general sense of right and wrong, unquote. For the county to pursue a new criminal investigation now, a request would have to come from the family, Stanzione said. They would have to state that they were not satisfied with the previous investigation and that they want the matter to be looked at again. The statute of limitations has not expired, he said. Liam Bruno's family filed a $35 million wrongful death case against Greene County and Corrections Sergeant Christopher Stottum in 2019. The case is currently pending, with a discovery deadline set for August 31st. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Lauren Gardner is reporting for Politico that American students used to easy access to Canadian schools are now experiencing barriers to physically accessing their campuses as the country's borders remain all but closed due to the coronavirus. Visas once processed in weeks are taking months to secure. Students have been asked to prove that their physical presence is essential. Quote, it's a mess, unquote, said Christopher Collot, an immigration attorney at Campbell Cohen in suburban Montreal. The Canadian policies related to international students are not far from those of the Trump administration in the U.S., which originally planned to deport foreign students whose country courses were fully online this fall. Ottawa is limiting who can enter the country, protecting Canadians who have largely flattened the COVID-19 curve there. Entering the country to attend school is generally considered optional unless there is a requirement for a student to be present, Canada Border Services Agency spokesperson Jacqueline Callan said. Quote, the onus is on the traveler to show that their presence in Canada is required, unquote, she said. Universities are offering most of their courses online for the fall semester, though some specific programs are running in person. If a student's course load is fully online, border agents are unlikely to waive them through. Online processing for student visas for Americans is taking about 19 to 20 weeks, attorneys said. It used to take up to a month. Canadian universities are now trying to stay on top of the ever-changing immigration guidance so they can communicate to international students what they need to know should they try to cross the border. Read more about this story at Politico.com. The Daily Freeman is reporting that U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado has launched a survey to gather information from upstate residents about mail delivery delays they might be experiencing and their concerns about the future of the U.S. Postal Service. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, appointed in May, has made major operational changes to the Postal Service during the COVID-19 pandemic that have contributed to significant mail delivery delays across the country and undermined the American people's confidence in a 245-year-old institution, according to Delgado's office. Residents can take Delgado's survey online at delgado.house.gov. On August 22nd, Delgado voted with the House majority to pass the, quote, Delivering for America Act, a bill which would prohibit the Postal Service from making any changes that impede prompt and reliable service during the COVID-19 pandemic and requires the Postal Service to reverse any initiatives that have slowed the service of mail. The legislation is intended to stabilize the Postal Service at a time when many Americans are relying on home deliveries and the mail service more than ever, and to prevent any targeted structural changes that would weaken the agency and discourage Americans from voting by mail in the coming weeks. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 4 p.m. on Sunday. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 83 and a low around 66. Monday, again, there's a 30% chance of rain, mainly after 2 p.m. Mostly sunny skies before that with a high of 83 and a low around 64. Tuesday, again, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, this time after 8 a.m. Then later in the day, it turns mostly sunny with a high of 82 and a low around 59. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
Wave Farms WGXC needs your financial support. In these extraordinary and unprecedented times, we know there are many worthy organizations in need. We hope that you consider Wave Farm among them. If you value WGXC and want to keep it a part of your daily life, we ask that you make a tax-deductible contribution to keep local and adventurous content freely available on the Upper Hudson Valley radio dial. Please visit WGXC.org, click Donate, and become a monthly sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. Thank you so much for keeping independent voices and sounds on your radio dial. WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Dave Freed of Cornwallville, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC 90.7 FM, Aqua, Catskill, Hudson, New York 90.7 FM. Listeners reported. It's radio for open ears, open heart, open hands, and open mind. We give thanks again to you for supporting WGXC all through the years, and then I hope that you stay with us.
I love books. Do you love books? Books are great. Read more books. Listen to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. Hooray!
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a graduate of Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Mashuda, and I'm 18 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Fatia, and I'm 6 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate,
bookish things. And I think we're going to be joined in a little bit by our friend Fahim. And we often are joined by our friends Lena and AJ. We hope they're having a good time, wherever they may be this summer day. So, Amelia, would you like to get us started off talking about a book or a bookish thing?
Sure. I've got like books and bookish things. I've been listening to a lot of short horror stories off of the internet on like narrations on YouTube and stuff. So not really reading so much, but you know, taking in literature, and I think that counts. I've listened to a lot of short horror stories while drawing and stuff like that, because I like to have something to listen to while I do things like that.
Do the stories inspire your artwork, or are they just simultaneously happening?
Sometimes they're simultaneously happening. Sometimes they're like inspirational, but usually it's just nice to be able to be entertained by something and also like do something that you like to do.
Do you have a certain site or favorite place to find those scary stories, or do you just hop around on YouTube trying to find them?
I usually, if you look up scary story narrations on YouTube, you can find them pretty easily. A lot of them come from either from Reddit, places like r/nosleep and r/letsnotmeet, and Let Not Meet is more of a place for like people telling their true stories about creepy things that have happened to them, and r/nosleep is more for writers looking to make a fictional story on the internet. So you can usually tell if you're looking at true encounters or things written to be horror stories depending on what Reddit people are reading from, which is fun. So if I feel like reading something that's obviously fantastical and fictional, I can go to one video, and if I'm looking for something that is maybe a bit more raw and a bit more true, I go to another video. So you can, it's pretty easy to navigate.
Have you read any particularly scary ones, or listened to any particularly scary ones?
Most of the particularly like unnerving ones come from No Sleep. Even though they are fictional, they're like very, very creepy. There is one that I think it's called Cabin in the Woods, and I don't know who it's written by, but it's narrated by a YouTuber called Bubusta. That is my favorite narration of it. Some other people have taken it on, but his version of reading it is my favorite, about a man and his fiance going to stay a night in the fiance's family's cabin in the woods. And when they come back, something follows them back and starts affecting the wife. And it is a very long series of videos. I think about maybe 6 videos long, some over an hour, but it is so, it's very worth it. It's a very like slow burn horror, but it like keeps you entertained. I like it very much.
Was that your book and bookish thing that you wanted to talk about, or was there another thing you wanted to talk about?
I don't remember. I think I was going to talk about how I'm still making my way through that short story book, and I'm hoping that after I finish that, I can take a break from normal books and read a manga I've been looking forward to, which is called Happy Sugar Life, and despite the name, it is a psychological horror, which I just think is interesting, and that title coupled with that genre just kind of sucked me in. Like, I had to know what that was going to be about. So
yeah, don't be fooled by the title.
Yeah, no.
Awesome. Miss Yuda, do you want to share a book?
Yeah, so I have a book about ghosts, and so it's called Haunted Healthcare: Medical Professionals and Patients Share Their Encounters with the Paranormal.
Ooh.
I'm interested like on books like that, and like the description says, like, many of those in the medical profession are no stranger to the paranormal. Ghosts walk the hallways of hospitals, both old and new, haunting the wards and operating rooms. Join Richard Stapp, paramedic, paranormal investigator, and cast members of TV's Haunted Case Files and Haunted Hospitals as he talks to EMTs, nurses, and medical professionals and patients alike, documenting their most intense and chilling encounters with ghosts and spirits. Dare you walk the hallways of some of the world's most haunted medical facilities. Welcome to the world of haunted healthcare professional. So like, it's like always when you visit a hospital, like you just, I mean, for me, like whenever I visit a hospital, I just get chill, like a feeling that, you know, unusual, that the feeling that I won't get usually. So it's like, it's just sometimes, you know, the feeling that someone's there. And also like, I have watched a lot of shows and movies, you know, how people are in coma. And, you know, so like they actually went to afterlife, and, you know, they roam around the hallways, like they walk around the hallways and see their families crying. And then some of them like actually, you know, fight to stay alive, to come back to the earth because they don't want to go. And they think it's not their time to go yet. So it's basically, it's an interesting reading so far. And it's like, you know, basically they see whether, you know, like religious people, like they believe in hell and heaven, and many people see the light and see that whether, I'm talking about the shows I watched, not the book, but like they see whether they're in heaven or hell. And if they have a chance to come back to life, then they can do, take different choices and become a better person. And then maybe they can, you know, redeem themselves and go to heaven. And it's an interesting twist of what, because like we're all so like focused on our lives, like we let, like a lot of people, like even me, we don't think about what happens when we die and what, like there's an afterlife. So it was interesting.
Do you all believe in ghosts?
I mean, kind of. I do, because I've seen them. I feel like I've seen them before. When I was like very young.
Those are definitely the kind of books I used to be obsessed with, like ghost stories and all that. I loved those. I loved shows like Paranormal Encounter and Paranormal Survivor and My Ghost Story and Celebrity Ghost Stories, all those things. But yeah, that was definitely something I'd enjoy.
Yeah. And also like I heard, like even my grandma said, like, I don't, like, you know, little kids are more like they see ghosts more because like they're innocent. And but like I don't think I have seen any ghosts as I'm like, I'm older, like I'm 18.
Yeah, but,
like, I didn't see any ghosts.
I saw a ghost, that's why I'm scared. I see ghosts every night, comes to me and a bedroom.
Oh, she fights with it, so it
she fights with the ghost.
Yeah.
Does she fight with words or with fists?
How do you fight, like, with words or fists with the ghost? How do you fight the ghost?
I'm just using my powers.
Oh, she uses her powers.
I forgot she has superpowers. I forgot. Those would come in handy.
Yeah, she turns people.
I don't know that I've ever seen a ghost, and so I don't know if I believe in them. I don't think it matters if I believe in them. They either exist or they don't. So maybe I'll see one someday. But I remember as a kid really wanting to see a ghost and being interested in places that were supposedly haunted, or even like going by the graveyard at night and hoping to see a ghost there.
Yeah.
Although I don't know how much ghosts would hang out in graveyards. Maybe. If I was a ghost, I wouldn't hang out in the graveyard that often.
Wait, did you ever see a zombie before?
No.
No.
Definitely not.
No.
Just in movies, TV, and comics, and books, in my imagination.
What happens when you became a vampire?
Vampires.
What happens when you become one?
Yeah, that's our question.
Yes, it depends on what story you believe.
Yeah, it does. I feel like the Twilight vampires have it the best, to be honest. I feel like they got it good. Some of the other legends, you got to follow a bunch of rules, and I don't want to have to deal with that if I'm going
to
become.
Well, go to vampire's house. They will pinch you.
Okay.
Pinch you in the face.
My friends have literally they've gotten so bored at this point staying in their houses that a bunch of them have started reading Twilight. I haven't gotten to that point yet. I hope I never will. But yeah, some of them have started actually reading the books, so I'll have to ask them what their opinions of it is. My one friend is actually starting to like it and is on the second book. So yeah, I don't know how to feel about that.
I found them mildly entertaining through the second book, and then the third book I found really boring enough that I didn't read the fourth. But they now have the Midnight Sun is out now.
Yeah, my mom got it.
I'm curious to hear what your mom thinks about it, because I wonder, even though I didn't really like the book very much, I'm curious what it's like.
Yeah, I'll have to ask her, because honestly, I don't see how much more interesting the story could be out of the perspective of someone who's already a main character and has pretty much already been doing all this stuff. If anything, like, I feel like it would have been more interesting if it was from Edward's perspective in the beginning, because Bella's just a human. She's just kind of chilling. She doesn't do much. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But hope you get a report back from your mom.
Yeah, I'll have to ask my mom when she starts reading.
Bound by Books fan.
I know that there was like a weird version of the first book that was published for like an anniversary or something where their genders were swapped and it was Beau Swan and like Edith Cullen. I know that's a thing and I don't know what it's called, but it was like an anniversary present for the fans or something like that, which I thought was kind of cool.
Very interesting.
And I heard, like, you know, Stephanie Myers were planning a movie to the Midnight Sun.
I wonder who they'd cast in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really
have. Those actors have aged.
Yeah. That's very strange to think of. Wouldn't that just be, like, the movies, but with more Edward? I think.
Interesting if they cast, like, the Edward and Bella, like, the real Edward and Bella, even if they have age.
Oh, no.
CGI them younger.
They CGI them younger like they did with the kids in It. That would be awful. Ooh. It looks terrible when you CGI an actor to look younger than they are. Oh, my God. What was I going to say? I've made this joke with my friends, and it has slowly grown from, like, a joke to me, like, picking evidence out of the movies to justify this. That, like, Edward would be, like, mind-controlling Bella throughout the entire series. And if that is not the plot of the new book, I'm going to cry. Because I swear that is what I feel like is happening. And I want to be right. And that's honestly the only way I can imagine this book would be interesting. Because otherwise it really is just the story again.
It would also be interesting. I don't know if she's just doing the first book or if she's doing all of them. But it'd be interesting if it started off being mostly the same story from his perspective, but then they did a whole like alternate timeline kind of version where different things happen.
That'd be cool. That would be cool.
But I mean, presumably there are things that happen in his life Like, there's parts of the book that he's not in. And so he's presumably like, doing things during that time. So there's definitely going to be stuff happening that isn't in the original.
Yeah, he's gone for the entire second movie. Mm-hmm. He's just gone. I don't know.
Which I think is why I liked the second one.
Yeah. I prefer Jacob, honestly. He's kind of better. I don't remember what it was, but I spent like the first movie like laughing, and then the second movie kind of bored but happy because there's Jacob. The third movie I think is completely boring, and then I think they split the last book into two movies. Mm-hmm. And I like the first of those two movies because it has a pretty wedding scene in it, and that I just, even though I don't like the story, I really like the soundtrack and the cinematography in that scene, and like. Sorry, I turned into
no, like, you're fine. A movie that all came from a question of Fatia's about vampires. All of a sudden, we're talking about Twilight for the whole show.
Yeah. I mean, Twilight is a book series, so it counts.
Yep, it counts. So, does Fatia have a book she wants to talk about?
Yeah. Come for you.
It's a very early book. Called that. So, it's called Fatia the Rainbow. You already heard that. Now, there's all the colors of the rainbow. There's red, like there's like a lot of colors. Mm-hmm. So there's the first color is purple, blue, and maroon. It kind of like violet, and brown, and purple, and black, and peach, and green, and blue, and violet, and light pink, and yellow, and blue, and red, orange, and red, and pink, and purple, and yellow, and green mixed together. And this is green, and this is yellow, and brown. I like, ready for the next page.
So this is a book of drawings that you've created?
Yes.
That are all different kinds of drawings?
Yeah, I was going to make a house, then I didn't want to make a house because I made that. That's already, and then I scribble on that.
So it's a scribble full of colors.
Yeah. Whoa, can you see that rainbow up there, like that rainbow?
So it's abstract, she's saying.
Yeah. So Amelia does artwork too. I'm wondering if Amelia ever has drawings like that that start off as one thing and then become something totally different.
Yeah. Times a lot different. So let's talk about this page. This is like a lot of rainbow, right? This is a rainbow, but here's a rainbow. I mean, this, I have like pictures of my family. I don't remember, but I'm going to show it to you guys. I saw this book at the iPad a couple weeks ago before the radio started.
What book?
It's called it's the same. It didn't be. Fatia just be a crayon.
Oh, like
Fatia the crayons.
Yeah, like no, how like, crayons save the world.
Yeah, how crayons save the world.
Yeah.
How do they save the world?
The crayon save the world was in the, you know, like in the crayon book. It was like the crayon save the rainbow. The crayons draw hard as they can. They got so tired and they made the hugest rainbow on the galaxy.
Yeah, because the art was black and white.
Yeah, the art was black and white. Like, long time ago.
I wish crayons could save the world. That would be great. I feel like the world could use some saving.
I mean, like, that would be awesome. Crayons can fly and get the rainbow back. Because there was, it was so rainy and sunny at the other side of the world and that side of the world. Gosh, so hot and cold. You have to go to the other side of it to be cold and the other side of it to be hot.
Could you show me your favorite picture in the book? So I don't think we have time to do every single picture, but can you show me your favorite picture in the book?
Yeah, my favorite picture. Here we come.
There's so many pictures in this book. Wow.
What's David?
I saw some words too.
Okay, this is my favorite page. The Queen.
Can you describe it for our radio listeners? Because we can see it, but they can't see it. What's happening in this picture?
So there's a crown, and these are the Trinity Stones that the bad guy wants to steal the Queen's stones. Oh, I think
there's a bad guy that wants to steal the stones from the crown.
Yeah, maybe I should make a book like that.
That could be an interesting story.
Queen and kings are what happens. So, I ready to explode the inside. A crown, and the bad guy wants to steal all of the queen's stuff. The queen doesn't even know that. The queen always steals a piece of them. The bad guy may dress up as, like, the king. The queen was at the bathroom one day, and then the queen was tired. And then the queen saw that, and queen got the plan. Dress up as a bad guy, and that's the end, and there's more.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
I look forward to hearing more stories from you.
Thank you. I make thousands of it.
I know.
My hands got
impressed by how much art you do.
My hands got so tired of drawing.
That's fair. They should take a nap. Does Fahim have a book to talk about?
Yeah, I have a book to talk about.
Great.
So while we were doing the webinar, like this book came out, and very soon the graphic novel of this book is going to come out. I later remember that I read this book when I was in eighth grade. It was for like an independent book. It's called Long Way Down by Jason Reynolds. It was published in 2017. So I read this book when he was coming to our school for like an assembly, and our teacher decided to have everyone read the book for like our independent book. And I read it, and it was actually a very good book. He wrote other books with like different authors, like All American Boys, Hero As Brave As You, like the Track series, The Boy in the Black. He wrote those books, and those are very good books. So Long Way Down is about I forgot the character's name because it was like 2 years ago, but it was about a boy who lost almost his whole family through violence, like through gang violence in his like community. He lived in a rough neighborhood, and his family, like his father died through like drive-by, and then his brother later on died. And then he decided to take his brother's gun and kill the person who killed his brother. So he had to take an elevator, go downstairs to the guy's apartment because they're like neighbors. The guy who killed his brother in a drive-by, he's like right like across their apartment. So he decided to take the elevator. And the more the elevator like stopped, he like, I'm not going to say too much, but he just discovers a lot of stuff, like things that he didn't know. And then later on, like after his decision, and then he just has to like read the book to find out. But like, that's basically it. That's the beginning. And like the rest of the book is about him in the elevator and discovering new things that he didn't know that impacted him from the past. I think this book is already out. It's called Stamped. It's by Jason Reynolds and Abram X. Candy. I think Abram X. Candy already made a book called Stamped, but like I think this is like another version of it.
Oh, yeah, he worked with Jason Reynolds to make a version for teens.
Yeah. Like the first one was called Stamped from the Beginning, and now it's just called Stamped. So it's like about racism and like what the world is going through right now. It's like a way to like teach and educate everyone of what is the world going on and everything. And like Long Way Down is basically about like people deciding things very fast without thinking, without knowing what like the consequence is going to be. So like it's just about like you should like think before you act, and like you should just think about what you're deciding to do, like your decision, like if you want to change or not. You just have to like,
yeah. And you were talking about having watched a webinar where it talked about a book that's coming out soon. And yes. So the book that's coming out soon is a graphic novel adaptation of Long Way Down. I'm excited to check that out. I also read the book and liked it, but I really like the woman that Jason Reynolds is working with on the graphic novel, Danica Novgorodov. Her artwork's really beautiful.
And
we learned in the webinar that she came into doing comics later in life, so after college. And so I feel like her style is a little different than a lot of graphic novels.
Yeah.
Because she comes from a painting background. I look forward to checking that one out. Looks really beautiful.
Yeah, I agree.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, no problem.
I also have a graphic novel I can talk about, which is called Stepping Stones by Lucy Nicely. And it looks like it's the first in a series called Peapod Farm that are set at Peapod Farm, which is a fictional farm And Lucy Nisley writes graphic novels, writes and illustrates, and they're sometimes written for teens and sometimes for adults, and they're often memoirs. And in this case, it's based on her childhood, but it's not a direct memoir. The characters all have different names, and presumably some of the plot lines are different, but it's based on her childhood, having moved from the city up to a farm area in rural, in real life, it's in rural Dutchess County. I don't remember if in the book they ever specify where it takes place, but she grew up in the Rhinebeck area. And so it centers on a young woman who moves out of New York City with her mom. Parents have recently separated, and her mom's with a new boyfriend, and they're moving together onto this farm. And so it's her getting used to living with her mom's boyfriend and having occasional visits from her sort of sisters, the new boyfriend's daughters, these new young women in her life, and then also getting used to living on a farm and all that comes with that. And her mom works at the farmer's market selling things and wants her to work with her. So she's also, you know, having her first job and getting used to working the farmer's market, having to do math, and she has to take care of the chickens. And I don't know, it may be less of a stretch for those of us that grew up in this area, or in an area like this, but going from New York City to a farm in Dutchess County is a pretty big leap in terms of your day-to-day life. So it's interesting seeing her settle in and get to work out her sort of new family dynamic. So yeah, it was a fun read. I liked that it was set locally, even though it was kind of a secret that it was set locally. And I'm curious to see what the rest of the series brings, because this definitely felt like a bit of an intro story, getting to know the characters in the scene. So I'm curious what more is to come. But I like her art style a lot, and I've read some of her other books as well. She wrote Relish My Life in the Kitchen, which incorporates a lot of recipes in interesting visual ways. And she has one about getting married. She has a travelogue. So a lot of different books to check out. She also has a cute picture book that we have at the library. Very nice artist and writer. And I like this new series. Yay.
Book. Yeah, it does. Very awesome. Thanks for sharing, dear.
Thanks. Well, we're just about out of time for today, but thanks everyone for listening. We hope everyone has a great week with lots of quality reading time. Happy reading.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Everybody, we see you tomorrow and next week, and goodbye. Take care and have some more cheese.
I wait for you.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about this story. Melissa Schumann reports for the Troy Record that a citizen went to the Troy Police Office August 21st to file a complaint and left without a form to complain, but covered in bruises and with his arm in a sling. At a protest later in the day about his abuse by police, someone ran a car into the group of protesters and was charged with reckless endangerment. Kenneth Zioli is the director of recovery services for the Coalition of Barker Park and the outreach director for recovery services for Equality for Troy. He went to the police department to fill out a form complaining about the removal of chairs from the park. He claims he was refused the form and that Sergeant Sean Kittle then grabbed him by an arm and threw him down a flight of stairs. He says he was put into a cell for 3 hours and refused medical help when he had an anxiety-induced seizure. Deputy Police Chief Daniel DeWolf said, quote, "The city recently removed benches from the park in an effort to curb congregating due to the pandemic and unlawful activity. I'm advised that he, Zioli, was asked a number of times to leave the police station and refused. He was then arrested for trespass and unlawful possession of marijuana," unquote. Later in the day, protesters gathered in Barker Park, and Robert Spinelli drove a car into the crowd and hit two people. Police arrested Spinelli for reckless endangerment. He was also carrying a loaded firearm. Quote, "Something smashed into my windshield," unquote, Spinelli told CBS 6. Quote, "I had several yelling, screaming in my face. The police officers at that time decided to get me away from the scene," unquote. This has been Tom Rowe for WGXC. Go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for many more stories about local issues.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Lost. If you don't see what's going on, turn off Facebook.
Jamel says don't shoot a lot. Shoot 1 minute things at a time.
Also, I enacted a kitchen, a soup kitchen that will be opening Monday to feed the people, not only in Barker Park, because people forget, we also have homeless people that live in tents in Tent City. We also got homeless people that live in tents in Boston Park. And whenever they feel like they have, they want to, they go over there and they harass those residents.
I'm gonna keep ringing that little doorbell, someone gonna answer. I'm asking for this complaint form and then we gotta go on our way.
Story is our friend Kenny, who is a local activist around here, went in to get a formal complaint form in the lobby of the police station. And after being ignored for 20 minutes, they threatened to arrest him for trespassing and then proceeded to arrest him on public property in this public lobby. He had a seizure while in custody and was not given any medical treatment. Cuts on his chest, bruises on his legs. Now he's in the hospital getting the treatment that he needs. He was released. However, we still want a form. We need a form. The piece of paper. It could have been that easy. That's all I got to say.
Oh, this guy with the white thing?
Yeah. Oh. So he's been bringing chairs to Barker Park. He's experienced some aggression from police along with some of the other activists over at Barker Park. I guess today is when the police finally were like, all right, we're arresting you for trespassing. Well, I mean, it's a public place, but they arrested him for trespassing. When he came back out, he ended up having like bruises all over his body. He had his shirt off. He had a seizure and they ended up taking him up to a Samaritan hospital. So that's why people are here protesting. And still just asking for a complaint form. The guy was a victim of police brutality. Right here in Troy, New York.
Oh, is that a policeman talking?
For my three complaints.
Excuse me.
My brain.
Hi. How about this?
I'll be right back. Yeah.
More of the same.
Everybody, how many people we got? We need 100 fucking forms?
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
A complaint form! So please, a complaint form out for 1, 2, 3. Bring out 50 complaint forms! Bring out 50 complaint forms so that every individual can fill out a complaint form against Troy Police Department. That's why we're out
again.
Here, what you can do is just tell people to give you the material or to come on. Have somebody come live. Just play this raw footage live. They don't want us to shoot. They said they don't want the media there. I don't think I'm going to shoot this.
Well, don't come outside empty-handed. Bring me the phones right now. What is it you're asking for?
A complaint form.
I would like a complaint form. Any of the officers inside, I would like a form. Hello? I know y'all can hear me. I'm a black angry woman. Get the fuck out of here.
Jager.
I'm not being deaf. This is being ignored. And bring the complaint forward.
Y'all don't beat those forms up.
Wait, wait, wait. What do I want? What do I want? Now.
Yes.
Fucking good. Open the hands up.
Switch it up.
You're a public servant. And you are not accessible to the public. That should be illegal.
Switch her out now.
Okay.
Yeah, let's not yet. Switch her out.
Let's see if somebody else will do it. One person is asking
for complaints. You got a lot of time.
Form. What kind of form are you looking for?
I need a complaint form.
Honestly, I say we break this goddamn door because we pay for it anyway. Break that motherfucking door.
We want the form. We want the form.
We're asking for a complaint form!
Go get the form!
I hear you.
I need a complaint form. I need a complaint form. Hey.
Here he came out.
I need a complaint form, please. Right now. Hey. I got you.
next?
Who's next?
Who's next?
Who's next?
Who's next?
Who's next? Who's next? Who's next? Who's next?
Hello?
Yes!
Hello? Hello? I have a fourth lead hand.
Yes!
What's up?
Hello?
Who's next?
Who's next?
It is
everybody asked for this fucking phone.
Yes! We got time? We got people?
Let me get on the platform!
I'm sorry, what's your name
again?
My name
is Kenneth Zioli. I was the individual who faced police brutality today by the Troy Police Department.
Can you tell me what happened?
I entered the Troy Police Department's main lobby and requested a formal complaint form by the Sergeant Kittle of the Troy Police Department. He ignored us for approximately 20 minutes, then came out of the side door of the Troy Police Department, and then he then said, I need to leave or I'll be arrested. He then snatched me and brought me into the back, threw me down a flight of stairs into a wall, continued to manhandle me, threw my head into a wall. I continued to state, I'm not resisting. He then told me I was a scumbag piece of shit. I then was put into an isolation cell, left by myself with no supervision, stated that I need medical attention, and then had a seizure in regards to not having medical attention. Because of this, I may have a brain injury, a head injury, but I do know that I have a broken collarbone possibly. I'm going to be getting a medical attention with that. I'm happy with the support that has arrived at the Troy Police Department. I'm grateful for this. I feel that the fascist system that we live in needs to be corrected, and I feel that this officer needs to be punished correctly by administrative and legal processes.
Were there any other officers present besides Officer Kittle?
Yes, Officer Kittle and another sergeant, which I was not able to receive his name, and an evidence technician who's of colored descent, and he has glasses. I asked for his name. He refused to give it to me, but they also witnessed the officer attack me, throw me into a wall, throw me down the stairs as I requested help and screamed help, please help me, and they watched him do it.
So you were requesting a public complaint form. What did they say they were charging you with?
They first told me that I was being charged with obstruction of justice or disorderly conduct. So first it was obstruction of a governmental administrative second, which that charge wasn't filed. Then they said disorderly conduct, which that charge wasn't filed. I was formally charged with trespassing of a public building, which is the Troy Police Department, and unlawful possession of marijuana, which I have a medical marijuana card in New York State. To possess a dab cartridge in New York State, which I was possessing. There's no doubt about that. But I'm a medical marijuana patient, so I was illegally charged with that as well.
And then how did they end up letting you go? Did they just release you?
I was arraigned via video conference with Judge Meyer of the Troy City Court, Jessica of the Public Defender's Office, and Assistant District Attorney Saxton. Of the assistant of the Rensselaer County District Attorney's Office. I was given a securing order, which stated that I was released on my own recognizance, and I need to check in with my probation officer, because I am currently on probation.
One second, I just want to check the levels. And did you tell the judge what happened?
I was told not to speak by the officer. Read by the sergeant. I also was refused phone calls. I asked multiple times to use the phone to call my attorney, to contact my attorney, and I was refused.
Let's step onto the sidewalk here. When Officer Kittle arrested Sergeant Kittle arrested you, did he read you your Miranda rights?
No, he did not.
Were you read your rights at any point in time during the arrest?
No.
And have you received medical attention since?
No, I requested multiple times by the Troy Police Department to have me medically assisted and to have medical assistance after my seizure, before the feeling of my seizure as well, and they did not. I asked for medical assistance in regards to my shoulder and my knee, and they did not give it to me.
Can I ask, Kenneth, what were you requesting a complaint form for?
Approximately on Friday last week, Sergeant Kittle stated to me that I've been working as an outreach coordinator for Barker Park under Equality for Troy, and I was told that he don't give a fuck about my First Amendment rights, was his exact words, and I quote, that I wanted to file a complaint about that. If there's an officer that doesn't care about my rights, then what are you? You're just an individual with a badge who feels that you're an authority figure. And that's not right. So he needs to be brought up on that. He needs to be recommended for a review. He needs to be punished by administrators and obviously the legal system for his actions. And that's what a formal complaint is for, is to inform higher-ups of their actions.
And that happened at the Barker Park protest on Wednesday?
This happened on Friday of last week when I was here, and I have video of that as well I can send you.
This is a public building. We are citizens. You guys are here to protect and to serve us as the citizens of Troy. Anybody can come in here and ask for a complaint form.
Right.
He told me it was up to the discretion of the police department whether they can give out. Yeah, you're going to hear that on the live. It was up to their discretion whether they want to hand out police forms or not. And then he tried to say that, when a person get arrested and then they get out and they say, oh, I want to make a complaint form. No, that's not how it works, because then they have to go through the system first before they're allowed to make a complaint. And in Kenny's instance, he was not arrested at that point in time. So he had, under his constitutional right and within his scope, to ask for that complaint form. So then once he knew I knew my shit, he goes to, the internal, because I myself put in a complaint about a year ago where I was assaulted by Officer Jones and Officer Belvino. And I put in a complaint for him over a year ago, still haven't gotten a call back to this day. Now that internal affairs officer who took my complaint is no longer with this police department. So I said, who's inside of his position temporarily until that position gets filled? He basically told me no one. So even if we do file a complaint, it won't even get taken a look at.
Right.
Which should not be being practiced in there, period. Because we have the right to complain. And we don't have to tell you what we're complaining about. The fact of the matter is, the procedure is that they're supposed to take the complaint, log it in to their ticket system, and they give a yellow ticket. They're not supposed to tell you, don't write this or dictate what goes in the report or what doesn't. But this is something that Troy PD has done for decades. And then he goes on to say, I can retire tomorrow if I want to, but I love this job. And I said, the only thing it took was just a little bit of de-escalation training Death Sergeant Kittle to say to him, hey, Ken, I will contact someone in the Fraternal Affairs, give him a number, and this is the correct protocol, or let him know one of the forms is located on the website. Then, of course, he threw Pat Madden under the bridge, saying that he did not send a memorandum or update the policies and procedures to reflect the executive order of Governor Cuomo. When that's a lie. Everyone in New York State knew that executive order came down. I mean, even if you don't watch the news or read a newspaper, it was huge. So then he goes on to ask, well, did you take part of that? I said, yep, everyone in this station. Do you plan on... Yep, Officer Jones. So the fact of the matter is, they're trying to silence us and they're trying to do retaliatory acts because of the good work that we're doing in the park. And I want to reiterate.